Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Fine. How's sunny California?
It is sunny, and we're moving toward the holiday season. That means that one of the things we need to think about is depression.
Nice thought. Yes. I don't know about you. I don't want to go to holidays around your house, but
well, I understand what you're saying. It is perhaps a little bit depressing around my house, but. I think that we know that either during or shortly after the holiday season, we end up seeing lots of problems. It was just my attempt to segue into the topic this week.
Which
anyway.
I destroyed.
You did. That wasn't very nice.
Sorry.
Anyways, this week you're going to talk to us about an article from Lancet that talks about diagnosing depression. Just a little bit of background. We know that depression currently is a clinical syndrome diagnosed when you meet at least five of nine symptoms, and one of those symptoms needs to be a depressed mood or loss of interest or pleasure most or nearly every day for a minimum of two consecutive weeks. There are lots of other symptoms that we know about that relate to sleep and appetite, et cetera. Most of these are grouped into either emotional changes, ideation, in other words, things like guilt and worthlessness, and then neurovegetative or somatic symptoms, sleep, weight change, appetite, etc. The medical students tend to like to use the acronym CIGE-CAPS, meaning prescribe energy capsules, as an acronym to think about how to diagnose this. In terms of screening, not a true diagnosis, there have been a number of tools. Lots of these tools are 6 and 9 and 15 item things that would be quite burdensome. There are a couple of tools that are two item screening tools. Most of them have questions like, during the past month, have you felt down, depressed, or hopeless? And something else that's like, during the past month, have you felt little interest or pleasure in doing things? And then if the answer to either of those is positive, then you would go on with additional screening. So this week, the question that's being asked is, how reliable is unassisted clinical diagnosis of depression in primary care? And are we missing patients or are we over-diagnosing patients? It's a meta-analysis, Mark. What did the authors find?
Yeah, this was interesting and gives us some, I think, useful information and a reminder of what we need to be doing with these patients who we suspect of being depressed. This was a meta-analysis. They looked at lots of databases for studies of unassisted primary care physician diagnosis. So these are primary care physicians, not psychologists or psychiatrists, and they weren't being assisted by severity scales or diagnostic instruments or education programs or any other sort of organized way of diagnosing. It was just a good old clinical intuition. And the gold standard was always a psychiatric interview using standard DSM criteria. The authors, seemed to be pretty good methods for the study. They don't describe doing an independent assessment by two people of each study. We found that that's pretty important. Sometimes, particularly in diagnostic meta-analyses, it's pretty easy to make a mistake. You've got to kind of figure out what the sensitivity and specificity are from data that aren't always terribly clear. And we found about a 5% error rate, even with experienced folks doing it. So that would have been one way to improve the study. They excluded studies with less than 50 patients. That's another interesting thing. Some people do that. I think the argument is that little studies tend to have less rigorous methods. And so we want to try and even if you can't quite quantify why they weren't as good, there's a feeling that they're not as good. But I disagree with that. I mean, I think you could argue maybe studies with less than 10 or 20 people you could toss, but they toss them with less than 50, that didn't seem quite right. On the other hand, I can kind of see why they did it, because in the end, they included 118 studies with 50,000 patients.
Wow.
So maybe they would have had to review twice as many studies, and they were just trying to cut down on their work. I mean, this is like, that's a big pile, so what can we do to cut it down? And I think cutting out the little crappy studies was one way to do it. Overall, in all these studies, about 20% of the patients were diagnosed with depression. And that's pretty typical in a primary care, screening / case finding. When we clinically suspect depression, it's usually a little bit higher percentage. When you're just screening everybody that comes in, it's usually a little lower, so it's kind of somewhere in between there. What they found was the clinicians were 50% sensitive, so they correctly identified half of those people who were depressed as depressed. And they were 81% specific, so of those who weren't depressed, they were also correct 81% of the time. What does that mean clinically? Well, given that 20% pretest probability, you know, that sort of baseline 20% depressed, if the doctor said, boy, I think you're depressed, it went up to 23%, so not a big whopping change. On the other hand, if they said it was negative test, then it was 6%. So they did a little bit better.
Interesting. Nobody, I guess, can make the argument that this is an understudied phenomena. I mean, 118 studies just on diagnosis. The NIH is certainly putting a lot of money into this. And one has to assume that one of the other reasons, one of the drivers here, is there are drugs involved to treat it. And lots of companies are funding research to promote what they're trying to push, which is a diagnosis of depression.
Yeah, and there are a couple of points there. One is there is actually a very good tool, and this is something you can build into your annual physical exam assessment that you do, the review of systems, and during the past month, have you often been bothered by feeling down, depressed, or hopeless? Or have you often been bothered by little interest or pleasure in doing things? And if they say yes to one of those things, that's 90% sensitive and 60% specific. Mm. So that's actually better if you're as an initial screen, because you're not going to miss half the people. You're going to find 90% of them. But then you have to go that extra step. That's not a diagnosis of depression. That's a positive screening test. And you need to still do that more detailed interview with the patient, whether it's, you know, formally looking at DSM criteria or whether it's just an expert clinician interview to assess the severity of the symptoms and the range of symptoms and the impact on daily living.
Thanks, Mark. Good advice. We'll talk with you next week.
All right. Looking forward to it.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.